time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
All right, welcome to the Vintage Truth Podcast. It is a cold winter's day, and if you hear a slight hum in the background, that's the heater at my feet, because out here in the office, I've been gone from the office today, and so it's been a little cool out here. It was 14 degrees here this morning in the Ozark Mountains, so we are just trying to stay warm. I have a freshly brewed pot of coffee in my thermos beside me right now, and I'm excited about warming up to the Word with you and talking about some things that really matter. Hey, two quick things as we launch into today's broadcast is, number one, if you have not heard about this Prophecy at Sea cruise that we're taking in September, you are just missing out. I'm telling you, it's going to be such an incredible time together. Myself, Dr. David Reagan, Tom Hughes, Don Perkins, Billy Crone, we're all coming together in one cruise on one ship for 5 days in the Caribbean, sailing out of Galveston, Texas. And we're just going to be blitzing you with teaching on prophecy. And there'll be question and answer periods. There'll be dinners and lunches with the speakers to be able to get to know people a little bit better. And it's just going to be a fun time. We're having stops at Costa Maya and Cozumel. And anyway, so more information about that can be found at the website, prophecyatsea.com. That's all one word, prophecyatsea.com. It's an affordable cruise, guarantee it. Again, sailing out of Galveston for 5 days, it's going to be a tremendous time together. And I would love for you to join me on that cruise. People are already signing up, and hey, it's going to be great. The second thing, and this directly relates to part of what I'm talking about today, is my newest book, Uncovering the Secrets of Bible Prophecy, 10 Keys for Uncovering What Scripture Really Says, deals with the topics of today by training you and equipping you to have biblical discernment, how to interpret the times, how to interpret prophecy, how to understand it from the Bible, and most importantly, how to have the mind of Christ as you walk through your daily life. So do yourself a favor and go to Amazon and order this book today and understand what God is saying in these last days. Now, with that in mind, let's talk about the topic of today, the great delusion, the coming delusion that Scripture says is coming upon the whole earth in the last days. What in the world could that be talking about? And are we currently experiencing that right now, or the foreshadowing of that great delusion? Here's what's going on. Right now, we are seeing the whole world really begin to succumb to the most incredible lies ever presented to mankind. And among these lies are: babies are not human beings, men are not really women, women are not really men. In fact, you can be just about any gender that you want to. Marriage is not sacred. There are so many lies that we're being told right now that are really dumbing us down and preparing us for the time when the Antichrist comes and deludes and deceives the entire world. Now, I don't believe that we as believers, Christians, are going to be there during that time. I'm currently in the process of writing a new book right now about the time of the Antichrist. And oh boy, it's exciting. But here's the deal. The Bible says that a man is coming on this world, into this world, and he's going to rise out of the sea of humanity, and that the entire world is going to get behind him. And he is going to have the charisma of a Kennedy, the mystique of a Barack Obama, and the power and leadership of an Alexander the Great. He's going to have all these people kind of boiled into one person, and he's going to take the world by storm. Now, let's see what the Bible really says about this idea of delusion, and then let's talk about how and if it applies to our lives here today. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is writing to believers. Now, keep in mind, these people don't have Bibles yet, right? They're not walking around with little Bible apps on their phones or carrying around a personal Bible or going and getting the family Bible opening. There are no Bibles, okay, for them in terms of the New Testament. And even for the Old Testament, people didn't have their own personal copies. So these people are dependent upon the Holy Spirit inspiring Paul to give them the truth of God, the mind of God. And he's writing to the Thessalonians because he had founded this church in Thessalonica. And he's reminding us some things because, as he says in chapter 2, beginning of verse 20, he says, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him." So he's speaking about the rapture, right? About this event when Christ is going to snatch away his bride and take her to heaven before God unleashes his vengeful wrath upon the planet. He says, "I'm writing this to you," verse 2, "so that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure." In other words, there are lies being spread that are kind of like tremors before an earthquake. You know, you feel these tremors in your faith and you're like, what do I do with these things? He says, "I'm writing this that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if it was from us." Us who? Us, the apostles, the ones who have divine authority in this early church age to tell you what God is actually saying. He says, if someone says they're hearing a spirit, a voice is telling them something, or they have a message from God, a word from the Lord, don't believe them. If it doesn't come from the Bible, doesn't come from the authority, the authoritative source, or a letter, that would be like in our days, like a book or a blog or something that is written down. And here's what these lies are saying. They're saying that the day of the Lord has already come. In other words, the time of tribulation, the time of suffering, the time of God pouring out his wrath. It's here, y'all. That's what they're saying. You're in the tribulation right now. Paul says, no, no, no. That's wrong. We didn't tell you that. He says in verse 3, "Let no one in any way deceive you." And I'm going to tell you something, friends. The church today is being deceived. And the country and the culture and the cosmos, the world is being deceived as well. He says, "Don't let anyone deceive you, for it," what is it? It, the day of the Lord, this time of trouble that's coming. "It will not come unless the apostasy comes first." There's going to be a great apostasy in the last days. And this apostasy refers to a complete departure from faith in God and belief in everything but the true God. That's basically what the apostasy means, that there's not going to be any sort of real true faith on a grand scale like there has been in the world. Why? Because the Christians are going to be taken away and there's not going to be any true belief except for those who will be saved during the tribulation. So the apostasy is going to come first. And he says, and before the day of the Lord's going to come, it says, and the man of lawlessness is going to be revealed, who is called the son of destruction. And this is the Antichrist. This is the man of sin. This is the arrogant prince and the prince who is to come, the Bible calls him. It says, what do we know about this guy? Well, it says he opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship. Oh my gosh. So there's going to come a man on the world scene. Now, see, here's the thing. The fact that this is hard to believe for some of you proves the point of delusion. Because listen to what he's about to say. He says this guy is going to exalt himself above every god that there is, every object of worship, he says, that there is. So that to the point that he goes to Jerusalem, it says, and he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as God. Now, there's no other way to interpret that other than what it actually says. So the Antichrist is going to go into the temple, the Jewish temple in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, and he's going to take his seat where the presence of God dwelt, according to the Jews. That would be in the Holy of Holies. And he's going to declare himself to be God. In essence, he's going to be saying, "I'm dethroning the Jewish God. I'm the God now." You say, "Wait a minute, Jeff. Whoa, back up. That can't happen. Why can't it happen?" Well, because there's no temple in Jerusalem right now. The last temple that was in Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD by the Roman general Titus as he swept through and sacked Jerusalem after this huge siege that lasted for months. He finally sacked the temple, and that's the prediction Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 24 when he told his disciples, look at these stones of this temple. Not one of them is going to be standing on each other. He was right. But since 70 AD, there hasn't been a temple in Jerusalem. So how in the world can the Antichrist take his seat in the temple if there's not going to be a temple? Oh, here's an idea. They're going to rebuild the temple. You say, wait, what proof do we have they're going to rebuild the temple? Well, we have it right here. We see it again in Revelation 11. And the fact that in 1987, an organization called the Temple Institute was founded. And this is in Jerusalem by devoted Orthodox Jews. And their stated mission is to help the temple get rebuilt again. You say, well, what have they done? Well, they fashioned all the temple vessels. They have woven together the priestly garments. They are training priests as we speak for this temple. They have drawn up blueprints to the temple. You want to see all that? It's on their website. They have sacrificed animals and practice for the temple sacrifices. Let me tell you, when the Jews put their mind to something, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. Now, they can't do that right now because the Muslims, they have this little piece of real estate right there where the temple is supposed to be built. And it's called the Dome of the Rock. And it's built over this rock that tradition says that Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. It's the rock upon which tradition says that was the exact space where the Holy of Holies was in the original temple, in Solomon's temple and Herod's temple. So, hey, guess what? They're going to rebuild that temple, but they can't do that until they gain access to that little piece of real estate. Well, I believe that the Antichrist is going to broker a treaty. And I'm talking about this in my new book, by the way, how I think that could happen. And he's going to do that so that the Jews can rebuild their temple. Now, when that happens, 3.5 years into this treaty he's going to make with the Jews, he'll make a 7-year treaty. 3.5 years into it, he's going to break into the temple and declare himself to be God. Okay, so that's one thing that's going to happen. But that's a little bit beside the point here. Let's keep reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says, do you not remember that while I was with you, I was telling you these things? What does that verse say? That verse tells us that end times prophecy was a part of Paul's foundational teaching to the church in Thessalonica. That prophecy wasn't the stepchild of Bible doctrine. It wasn't something that Paul just said, hey, we're going to do a special class, and if you guys are interested, we're going to talk about the end times, what's going to happen. Didn't do that. It was a part of his curriculum that he taught them. And that ought to say something about where our churches are today. I mean, not only are we not teaching about the end times, we're living in the end times and we're not teaching about the end times. I mean, Paul was 2,000 years way back. And though technically the last days are from the time of Christ's ascension to his coming, that's technically the last days, but we're in the last of the last days. How do we know this? Because the signs that we see being fulfilled in the book of Revelation are actually in formation right now. And they've never, ever been that way in 2,000 years. The Jews are back in the land. They're ready to rebuild the temple. The technology and the stage is being set for the Antichrist. That's what we're talking about here. And so many other things that are going on. But it's like the players are just waiting in the wings for their cue to come on stage. Now, I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't have a specific date. I don't have a specific time frame. But it tells me that we are in the kind of days that could happen at any moment. And this thing could be put into motion. So with that in mind, let's keep reading. Paul says, hey, I used to tell you about these things. You guys have forgotten my end times teaching here. Verse 6, and you know what is restraining him now? What's holding that man of sin back? What's holding the Antichrist from bursting on the scene so that in his time he may be revealed? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. So even in the first century, and John tells us in 1 John that the spirit of Antichrist is already working in the world. Satan wasted no time to start his end times agenda. And this whole mystery of lawlessness, of the idea of taking authority away from your life and replacing it with your own authority or with satanic authority, that was beginning in the first century. So he says, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains the Antichrist will keep doing so until the day he is taken out of the way. So wait a minute. So how is the Antichrist going to be revealed? Well, the Bible says that this restrainer, this thing that is this entity, whatever it is that's restraining him, is going to be removed out of the way so that this man of sin can rise onto the scene and begin to do his deceptive work on planet Earth. Okay, so what is the restrainer? Well, people have theorized that the restrainer is government, or the restrainer, you know, somehow the law is just the whole idea of you know, having moral code and that kind of thing. But I take the restrainer to be the Holy Spirit as he works in the church. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit's influence through believers, through the church, through the body of Christ. And like a great big dam, he's holding back the ultimate evil that wants to come upon this earth right now. He's keeping it at bay. You say, whoa, what must that ultimate evil look like? You know, if it's going to get worse, because we're looking at the world right now and we're going, whoa, it's getting pretty evil here. It's the days of Noah right now. So how bad does it have to get before the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way? Guess what? Think about it for a second. If there were no limits, on what a person could do, if there was no moral code, if people's consciences were completely rotted, what would they do? I'll tell you one thing they would do. They would write legislation in their state saying that you could kill a baby up until the day of its due date. They would even write legislation that would say once that baby is being born, you can make that decision right there whether to kill that baby and practice infanticide, which, mark my words, will lead to more abortions, will lead to more people being deemed unworthy of life. And it'll extend to the mentally retarded, to Down syndrome. It'll extend to patients that are on life support. It'll extend all the way to the point where it's like the Jews in World War II. You're not considered human, so we're going to do this to you. You know, like Africans during slavery, you're not a real human, so we're going to do this to you. Your property is what you are, and we decide whether or not you live or you die. And so when the Holy Spirit is taken away, no one is going to say to those people, you can't do this or you can't do that. Imagine if there's still America after the rapture. What kind of demonic decisions will be made concerning lawlessness and concerning morality, concerning people who are disposable? And it's Sodom and Gomorrah on steroids. I mean, it makes Mardi Gras look like Kiddyland at Disney World. And that's what's coming to this planet. And that's going to come in full effect when the Holy Spirit is removed through the rapture, through his influence in the church. So when the church is taken up before God unleashes his wrath, that influence that the Holy Spirit had through the church is also going to be removed. That the Holy Spirit will still be here because he's omnipresent. He's God. But in terms of the way he works through the church right now, there'll be no one voicing a voice for the unborn. No one voicing something for sexual purity or for marriage or for male and female gender. All those things are going to be taken away. And the Bible says that this man who is coming is going to be called a lawless one. And he will bring the great delusion. What is the great delusion? And how is it applying to our lives right now? And are we currently ramping up to that? Because watch this. The Antichrist and his power is not going to just fall from the sky. The world is being groomed for him right now. And in the next broadcast, I'm going to tell you exactly how that's working out in our society today. So don't miss the next Vintage Truth podcast. And also, hey, check out that cruise and check out the book, man. You need some good, solid material? Check out my book. Hey, I'll talk to you next time. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.